The Survivor Specialists are back, and we are digging deeper into the finale of Survivor 48, our final episode for this season. And I have it titled Final Thoughts on a Polarizing Season. And in Will's opinion, I'm probably being nice.
I was going to say polarizing. Is that, I mean, is this season getting love from people that I'm not picking up on? Because like that could be very true.
It is true. I think that the offline community for this season the community has really liked it. And I think that was true. They love Joe. They love the Joe and Eva storyline. I think a lot of those people might've been frustrated by a Joe loss, which I think is pretty interesting, right? Because so many people like that were podcasting and so perennially online, they were almost rooting for a Joe loss. So it was something unpredictable. But everybody offline was like, well, what do you mean? This is like Russell losing. What the hell? Like, we thought that this person was taking it home. Wow. So maybe that actually drops it down a little. Yeah,
it makes both parties mad. It's like, okay, if you're into this emotional story and you're offline and you just are into it, you're like, Joe should have won. And if you're online, you're like, this season kind of sucked, but I guess I'm glad Kyle won instead of Joe because he had more of a strategic game. So it's like, no one's happy.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And I keep saying it, but I really do feel that other than those two episodes, I was higher on this season for sure than you were. And I do think that this season would get better on a rewatch. But I was talking about this on the Patreon earlier. Essentially, this season's going to fall at like 35 to 37 for me out of the first 48, right? And I was naming like Thailand. All-Stars, obviously. I hate All-Stars. Redemption Island, One World. Like, I could name 10 seasons that I like worse than this. And I still think that this is probably a good season of Survivor. It's not great, but it's a good... Like, I was entertained for most of this season with the exception of really two episodes. And I think on a rewatch, it would really benefit from that. But what's funny about Survivor is there's so many great seasons and very good seasons and just good seasons that are better than this one that this feels like such a massive disappointment, especially coming off of 45, 46, and 47, which are three really strong seasons that are all done in very different ways. And so I think that it's like, can you have an appreciation for, I did the exit press today for the first time ever. Those interviews, the way they talked about this, those relationships were everything to the people who made the final five. That's why they got to where they did. And maybe that just doesn't play on TV the way that we want to see on New Era Survivor.
Yeah, I think Survivor comes in a variety of flavors. Like, what kind of Survivor do you like? And everyone likes different flavors of Survivor. I, for one, like, I like the emotional stuff. Not that I don't like emotion, but for me, that can't be the only thing. It's like, if you're going to a restaurant, okay, you're going to a steakhouse, you're going there for the steak. And if they have a great, like, side salad or, like, cream spinach, and you're like, this is phenomenal at the steakhouse, but you're going for the steak. And like, for me, that's what the emotional stuff is. If you get like these really emotional arcs and I'm crying, I love that in a Survivor season, but that's like my side dishes. That's my macaroni and cheese. That's my cream spinach. That's my Brussels sprouts. Maybe that's the bread and butter. Like, the main thing I get from Survivor I want is like, I want dynamic, exciting gameplay. Like, that's why I like Survivor. I think I can turn on like a narrative. Like, I can turn on a scripted film or a movie or a TV show. Like, I cry during Lost all the time. I love it. Like, I can get my emotion elsewhere. I can't get dynamic gameplay from Lost because it's not a reality competition show. So like, for me, a Survivor season at like its like base level needs to at least have some intriguing gameplay elements. And this season really fell flat with that. I think there was literally like two good vote outs, and two good vote outs with an 18 person cast is significantly bad. Like, that is terrible. That's a terrible ratio. Like, I know you were saying last night, like, oh, or you just said it now, although aside from those two episodes, I like it. Like, did you though? Like, did you like the Cedric, Chrissy, and Say vote outs? Because like, to me, that sucked too. And then we had those really bad two episodes late, but like, even the pre-merge wasn't all that good. So I get why people, I'm not saying if you like the season you're wrong. You can like Survivor for why you like it. Some people like emotional, some people like games, some people like funny, some people like messy or chaotic. Like, I actually might lean that way more. Like, having a funny season to me is probably even higher rank than having like something emotionally resonant like this, or having these like deep personal stories, deep personal relationships. And not to say that, again, not to say I don't like them. It's just, it's not the main course for me. So I like, to me, this season's like very, very low. Like, this is probably a bottom 10 season of the show for me. And that's okay. People like Survivor for different things. And I also think the cast is really strong. It's like, it's a rare thing in Survivor where you have a really strong cast, but the episodes just aren't that. Like, I really did enjoy the cast. So, and I'm not just saying that because you did Exit Press for the first time. How was that, by the way? That must have been an experience.
It was great. It was a wild experience because I've never done Exit Press before. Not in that way. I mean, I used to do the tell-alls all the time, but right. I haven't done Exit Press like where it's like day of, you got 15 minutes, let's go. And I was like back to back to back. I had Blake and McKenna really came through huge today, getting everything out in a timely fashion to the point where if you want to check them out, we got it with Kyle. We got it with Camilla, Eva, Joe, Mitch, all five of them were great. And honestly, like, It was actually very fascinating to hear that because as we're doing digging deeper, right? Normally we're coming in, we're like, all right, let's rehash what we already talked about. But to actually hear some of the behind the scenes stuff, like Mitch really did have a chance to win this game. And that seems crazy from what we watched on TV.
Oh, so we're just going to talk about your Exit Press now that I haven't been able to listen to yet.
No, but I just think that that's what's fascinating. And I think that's what people need to remember as they watch Survivor. And if you don't like the season, you don't like the season. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you, you got to like the season. And trust me, there's seasons I love that I know people don't, and that's okay. And I know that I hate All Stars. You like All Stars. We talk about that all the time. Like, whatever. That's what we do. But I do think that this season got very personal in a very, very, very ugly way. And I think that that is the shame of this. And I'm not talking about the players. I'm talking about kind of the fan reaction to a lot of the players. And I think that's a shame because I think at the end of the day, some people have lost sight of the fact that we're watching an edited show and we're not seeing everything Mitch is doing and we're not seeing everything Joe's doing and we're not seeing everything Eva's doing. And I do feel like there were ugly parts of this community, very, very ugly parts. And it's not the people who listen to us, which is why it's unfortunate. So maybe I'll cut this and put it on TikTok so that other people hear this who need to hear this because there's some despicable people in this community. But there's people who hated on Eva. It felt like for being autistic, like, and there's people who hated on Mitch and it felt like because of his stutter and those things to me are just so disgusting and it's awful. And it's like, if you don't like Mitch's game, you don't like Mitch's game. But when you start attacking Mitch personally, when you start attacking Eva, I had to delete multiple comments from a vile, disgusting, despicable, horrible human being off of my Eva interview because that person just couldn't contain themselves and is taking shots at Eva personally, and it's related to her autism. And it's like, what is wrong with you? Why are you doing this? And I think that's where this season for me really blurred some weird line because you're over here and you're saying this is probably a bottom 10 season for me. And I'm saying I'd rank it maybe 36 or 37. That's bottom 11 or 12. And I'm talking about it so much more positively than you are. But I also think that maybe part of that is me overcompensating a little bit for how ugly and awful I have felt that it has been towards some of the players on this season. And maybe that's just me trying to be like, no, you guys are crazy. But like, I really do think that the community as a whole has like really crossed a line with some things this season. And that just really frustrates me. And I know it's like, well, you're talking about Twitter, you're talking about Reddit, but these are the parts of the community that are the loudest. These aren't the people you walk by in the street. These are the people who are voicing their opinions every Wednesday night and getting thousands of likes and thousands of retweets. And these are the people who are interacting. And I think it's horrible. And I think a lot of people got to look in the mirror because you're not a good person if you're taking those types of personal attacks against people. So that's, I don't know how I even got there, but that's how I feel like it got too ugly for no reason.
Yeah, no, I wasn't aware of that. And I mean, I say this all the time to you, Phil, and that, you know, all the people listening and watching, like, I don't do social media really. I don't go on Twitter. I don't go on Reddit. This, I guess, counts because we put it on YouTube, but like, I don't view what kind of like the pulse of the community is. And I wasn't aware. Someone just commented, like, yeah, there's like Twitter was toxic this season. I mean, that doesn't feel like Twitter's always toxic, it seems like. I don't know when. Yeah. Like, that's kind of
unfortunately it's how people find you and stuff. It's awful, but it is. It's always
like,
toxic.
Yeah. But on like a lighter note, I did really enjoy the finale. Like, I thought this was like a really strong episode. And I know you and Blake already recapped it last night, but like, we could give the finale its flowers again. Like, this season wasn't for me, but the episode was good.
So let me ask you this, though. So you're saying there were pretty much two votes for you. What two stand out? Because I personally think there's three. And I think that three of them absolutely deserve credit. And I think there's a fourth that could be lumped in just because it was wild, but what two for you really stand out?
The move at six to get Shaheen, and honestly, was it that incredible of a move? I think it was pretty solid. It's not like, but it was no Operation Italy. It was no telenovela with Jesse in season 43, but it was like a pretty solid move, and we were dying for anything at that point. Like, maybe we're overrating it a bit because nothing had happened. We're just like, finally, give us something. But I did enjoy that episode. And then the Kyle play when Thomas went home, I thought that was really good. I know the David episode was fun, and we had Carolyn on after, and I thought that was like solid, but like, okay, maybe, but still three good vote outs out of an 18 person cast.
So for me, it's about those three. And then I thought it started to get stale when Green kept losing, right? Like, Kevin's episode really didn't do anything for me. But I do think that there was something fascinating about watching the Justin Boot episode, even though it might not be the most compelling characters on the season. And ultimately, characters didn't make it past the final seven. Every single one of them was gone by final seven. But you got to tell the story that you're dealt, right? Like, I mean, in season 45, Emily's whole tribe's gone by final seven too. But that's considered a really good season. So I think that that was interesting to me, because it's like, we've never seen this. And truthfully, the Bianca boot is like kind of a low key, solid, strategic, like, what just happened moment. And I think the show did a good job of not over explaining it to us and giving it to us all in that episode. And then the next episode, they kind of tell us a little bit more. I think that this season has a lot more ups than people are giving it credit for, even if it had more meh than good. And I think that's where it's kind of like, I understand why people are low on it, but I think if you were to break this down week by week, it wasn't a bad season. It just was lackluster compared to what it's been following, and it's totally different than what we have seen in such a... We haven't seen a season like this since I have no idea when, where it was literally just, here's a five-person alliance, essentially. Or, you know, that's going to six personalized. That's going to roll through the game. I was looking at this today when I was scoring the prop bet game and everything, which, by the way, I reached out to everyone. So if you're a winner, you got in the email. But when I was going through this stuff today, I'm looking at it and I'm like almost no people voted out with advantages in their pocket. Almost no idle fines. Almost no, like, there was nothing in the prop bet game because nothing happened. And that's really fascinating. And the winner of that had 22 points. And Will, from an over-under perspective, 16 of the 20 were unders. 16 of the 20. But they were under by like a half, a lot of them. And that was actually won by John Millsip, who got 15 points. Maybe he just put under for everything. But I don't know. I feel like that's probably why people are so low, because it doesn't feel like anything happened. But sometimes when you watch a season in its entirety after that, nothing happening actually starts to feel like, oh, this is the development of the story when you know the ending. And that's how I feel with like a Vanuatu. This is nowhere near Vanuatu, but that's how I feel with a Vanuatu.
Yeah, and you could even go through and say like, oh, this vote was interesting or this vote was good. I didn't feel that the episodes were all that good in the pre-merge. Like, just not strictly looking at votes. Like, I didn't really feel that brought into the tribes or connected to the cast. Even though I liked a lot of the cast members, I didn't feel like I knew them. And even with 90-minute episodes, it just seems so bizarre to like not feel like I was, and I felt this very early on, and I told you, I don't know what it was, but now that you're mentioning, you're like, oh, well, everyone went before final seven. I'm thinking about that Justin vote. I mean, I know Mary was there, but if you really think about it, it's like, that was Justin, Cedric, and Say. That was between those three, and they were all gone very early. So like, maybe it's like, we just weren't giving care. And maybe that's actually, in, you know, an outcome of like having a dominant alliance where the people that we get to know early, it's like, we know we're not going to need them. So we don't get to know Cedric that well. Like, even though Cedric was involved in all these votes, and we kept saying, wow, Cedric's the deciding factor. Like, we never really got to hear from him, and we didn't invest in his story or like how he was playing the game. We just got him like making decisions on a whim at Final Tribal Council, it felt like. And that's because Cedric wasn't long for this game, and he wasn't important to the story of this season. And so when you have one alliance dominate like that, it's like, yeah, we got to know those people, and everyone else felt really like I didn't know. And even if you have an interesting vote out with Justin or Bianca, like, I just didn't feel like I knew them that well or was supposed to even care, because we weren't going to spend a lot of time with them.
And I feel like we talked about this a lot during the early portion of the season, right? We were talking about how Green keeps going, but the only one we're hearing from is Say. I don't know Justin. I don't know Cedric. And it makes sense, though, in hindsight, because there are two people from that tribe who even are on the jury, right? And I think that that is a detriment of these three tribe starts, is you run the risk of having one tribe literally be irrelevant. But if they're irrelevant to the late game, that means that they're the most important story to the early game. And what you then have is this major disconnect. And it's not like Palau, where you sit there and you're like, oh, well, Stephanie. It's like, no, because you have three tribes, you're spending so much time with a tribe that does not matter. And that's what kept happening. And that's why early on we're sitting here going, maybe David wins. Like, who knows? He's getting so much screen time. But it was almost like they needed to figure out, how can we get Siva more and more screen time? And as Kyle said today in his interview with me, David was my number one. Like me and David were really close early on in this game, and that's how we wanted to work through it. So they were laying the groundwork for us as an audience and trying to show us Loggy and the California girls and Joe and Eva and all of that, because Green wasn't going to matter. That might be a problem for with these three tribe starts. And honestly, this is again where I go back though and say it could be beneficial on a binge watch, because some Survivor seasons are really good binge watches. Some are really good week to week. This could be a much better season on a binge watch, because you get through the slop of those first three episodes so quickly.
Yeah, so you can race into the exciting post-merge. Yeah.
But you, but I don't know if this season gets, and then it helps.
I don't know if this season gets that much, much better on a rewatch. It might. I mean, it's hard to get worse. So at least give it that. It probably gets slightly better. I do think that's well said though. Where, and I'm not against the three tribe start. I'm not going to say that. I think the issue is when you have a tribe decimated, or like the disaster tribe, as we like to call it, when you have that happen, if the people on that disaster tribe, the remnants, like the last two or three, if they don't make a deep run, then it really kills you. It really hurts you. And that's what happens here. But if you look at some of the, like, if you look at Philippines, like obviously Malcolm and Denise, okay, like, big characters. We have our winner from there. We have like an all-time favorite in Malcolm. These characters have to be good also. That's important. More recently, it's like, look at Ricard and Shan. Like, they are at least made a deep run and were like very good game players and very interesting characters, both of them. I don't know if I can say that about the remnants of the Green. Well, there were no really remnants of the Green tribe.
It was just Mary and Cedric, and they decided Mary wasn't a character.
Yeah. And then you look at like season 46, I know they got down to three only, but that Janu tribe, they did lose one. And then we had the Rand and Medivac. Like, they should have been down to two, but you look at the characters there. You have Kenzie, the winner. You have Q, the maybe the biggest character of the new era. And you have Tiffany, who's a great character and player in her own right. So like, and they all make a far run. They make a push and they're important to the overall story. We spent all this time early with Green and not one of them cracks into the late game and has any relevance. So it's like, maybe that really was the problem. I mean, it's hard to say to put it all on that, because the gameplay was also like non-existent.
Yeah.
But that could certainly be a contributing factor as to why it didn't feel like the pre-merge did not feel significant. It did not feel important.
Because ultimately we saw Bianca and Thomas bond, and then we see them go home on different tribes. We didn't even see them get to like talk to each other when it happens. Bianca goes home with a lost vote. Justin goes home with a lost vote. That stuff, it's hard to even remember that Mary played a successful shot in the dark, because it never felt like Mary was actually a competitor to win this game. And I think that's where like the edit was super weird on this season in a lot of ways. And I don't know. I feel like this will be rewatched eventually, right? This isn't a season I'm going to be like, oh, this summer, let me rewatch this.
I can't wait, Phil.
Yeah, we got 2.5 years, I think. That's about it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'll rewatch this instead of Nicaragua and just talk about this during our Nicaragua podcast.
Nicaragua is a better season than 48.
No way. I've tried to rewatch Nicaragua 3 times and I've never made it past the Marty boot. I get to the Marty boot every time and I'm like, I'm done with the season. I can't do it. I literally can't do it. I have never made it past the Marty boot.
Wait, why don't you make it past the Marty boot? Because the Marty boot's good.
No, that's the one. That happens, and I'm done with the season.
But
because I hate almost
then you're every not even then, episode, then you're not even
I hate getting almost every single episode before that. And by the time he's gone, I'm like, I really could care less about everything that happens in this post-merge.
Well, yeah, we're going to rewatch it soon. I'll give you my thoughts on 48.
Let's throw up this super chat here. Nostalgia. Just wanted to say thank you guys for another great season of podcast. Been watching since Millennials vs. Gen X. And you've always killed it, especially with the rebrand. Keep it up. Apple 5-star review coming soon. Thank you so much. Love that people have continued to support. I mean, this has been crazy. And I really do appreciate throughout this season, especially, I know that people were down on this season. They were down. So for everybody to actually stick with us through this season, I appreciate that because our numbers continue to improve. Will would text me on like a Thursday and be like, why do we have almost 4,000 views already on that video? That season, that episode was like bad. He's like, and it was just like, you guys like to hear what we were saying about it. And it does make us feel good and all that, because at the end of the day, we're going to give our opinions and it's going to be what we authentically feel. And I know sometimes that can be really negative for people, which if you're sitting here going, what's the 5-star Apple review? It's like, I asked for those yesterday because we kept getting 1-stars from people who were like, we get it. You hate 48. And it's like, I'm sorry that you don't like our take on 48, but like only people who don't like us were giving us reviews and it's like, go away. But we're going to be authentic about how we feel about it. And everybody was like, Phil, you absolutely hate this. Well, meanwhile, after like episode 6 or 7, I'm getting shit on Twitter where it's like, of course you're defending a bad season. And I'm like, which is it? Do I hate it or do I like it? Somebody explain to me where I stand on this, because I can't be both.
Yeah. You need to, maybe we got to get you off the socials a little bit.
Oh, dude, it's Alexa used to do it. And I was a much happier person. The socials are brutal. The socials are brutal, but there's such
a like coming on here talking to you about it. And then I don't, you know, I'll sometimes check out the comments or, you know, I see the chat obviously, but like, I'm not getting any extra about this. Like we can just chat and it might make you happier.
I'm just going to give you like, I want to see if I can find like one gem for you while you're doing this, because there's just so many.
Season 46.
What do you mean season 46?
Gem. You're looking for gem.
Oh yes. Yes. I am definitely looking for gem. Let me see. Maybe I can't find anything right off the top, but like, as you're talking, I'll just zone out and I'll start looking down here. But, yeah, well, but like
something I'll, again, I keep saying I like this finale and really didn't like the season. So let me like bounce back and forth. I can now be positive. Something I really appreciated about this finale was something I was unsure we were going to get. We kept talking about this, Phil, where in episode 4, we get this incredible, you know, historic Survivor moment with Joe and Eva. But since then we were like, okay, what's happening with this? Like, where is this going? We get that was a cool moment. It was an incredible moment. We talked about it. We praised that moment when it happened. But we're like, now they're just in the majority and they're just going to ride this to the end. And like, we're not really getting anything out of it. Like, we're not getting, there's like, it feels like we climaxed with their arc. Like, we've seen their big moment and now we have like, you know, 10 more episodes of them just being an alliance. We get that they're a pair. We get that they're voting together. We get that they want to go to final three together. This was one of the more intriguing fire making.
I agree.
And not even because of like the winner implications of it all. Like at this point, I was kind of feeling a Kyle win, although also praise the episode. I can praise it more because I thought they set up Camilla as a potential winner in the first hour of this episode tremendously. They gave her so much winning content. But fire making, when Kyle picks Eva and she goes to practice and she has another episode and then they're in the shelter and you hear her having an episode and you know, moaning and crying, like that is so real and just so authentic in the reaction. And Kyle being like, did I do something wrong? Should I do this myself? And then Joe saying, I'm going to go step in. I'm not going to make Eva go through this. And then Eva to be like, no, guys, you're missing the point. I have to do this. Like, I have to be able to do this. And I was so thrilled with how that played out, where she didn't let Kyle or Joe or anyone else like step in her place. And she says, I need to work through this. This is who I am. I have autism. I'm owning this. This is a big, like, we're playing Survivor. I want to be treated just like everybody else. And that was absolutely remarkable. And almost like, I don't want to say it topped the moment of the challenge, but like,
I think it did.
It almost might have been. I just didn't think we were getting there from what we had seen this season. It's like, yes, we got the moment in episode 4. It's like, I didn't know we were revisiting this, and to revisit it in this way was so tremendous. And then we get to the actual fire making challenge, and oh my god, when she started freaking out during the challenge, it was like, I mean, it was, that was real. I mean, that was very strong emotional Survivor. And again, if that's what you're watching Survivor for, these human moments, mm-hmm. then you probably love this season, and that's okay. Again, not my reason for watching. When it's, the emotion's good, it's great. Like, it makes any season better. I mean, again, back to this, I want my steak, and then I want my sides, and I want them all to be fantastic. But like, man, but that was good.
Overcooked, you're out.
Right. No, this was like, the steak was terrible, but the side, I had one side dish that ruled, and then another side dish that wasn't that good, because it wasn't that funny of a season. So if you're looking at like humor, emotion, and gameplay, if those are your three Survivor flavors, and there's probably more flavors, and there's probably a whole Venn diagram of overlapping. Like, I like funny gameplay, or I like emotional funny moments. That maybe exist. I don't know. maybe at like an auction or something. Then yeah, you can have a different take. I thought the emotion was great, everything else, but yeah, fire making, holy hell, loved it.
Yeah, and I think that's where like people are so like quick, well, we just want to get rid of fire making. It's like, there's some bad instances of fire making, but this was really good. And I think that, you know, Eva talked a lot about how it was so much worse than what they actually showed, and that she wishes they would have shown how bad it truly was. Like, her episode was the worst one that she had on the island. Like, she really was in bad shape. And to be like, to sit there and say, no, I'm doing this. Like, you're not playing the game for me. Like, I'm doing this. That's where I don't think she's getting any credit for that. You know, I feel like people are so quick to judge and so quick to jump down her throat and everything like that, which I do think is a bummer, because at the end of the day, it's like, Eva still is the second place finisher on Survivor. She wasn't handed second place. People are complaining, oh, she went on five rewards. Okay, she went on five rewards. She was honest with everyone. That?
Like, she, like, yeah, good she for got her. Picked.
Yeah. And like, people are like, well, she was dragged. People were scared to vote her out after what happened in episode four. Maybe they were. But at the same time, like, if that's who she's playing with, that's who she's playing with. They can vote her out just like anybody else. She's still got votes at the end. She's not the zero vote finalist GOAT that everybody wanted to pretend she was. So I just feel like, you know, I agree with you. I think that this moment at Final Four was so much better. I think it was more powerful and more impactful, because we have now seen this woman make it all the way through the game and keep herself so intact and so in control throughout most of it. And now she's in this one moment, the final step before she's going to get there. And it was, I mean, it was powerful. And honestly, like, I think that this finale, there were a lot of powerful moments. Like, I think Mitch's exit was honestly done up pretty well for emotional purposes. I really do. I know we don't connect with him as much because we don't know him as much, but when they're looking this guy in the eye and it's like, you're likable. And for the most part, when Mitch talks on this season, he obviously has his stutter, but it seems like it's more in control. You can hear it and you can feel the emotion is coming out of him. Yeah. And I think that's really cool how they were able to edit this and like show off the distinct personalities, right? Joe's reaction after being out, like losing the game and sitting there and saying, I'm just really grateful that you allowed me to be the person that I really am, to show the person that I really am. Camilla going, like, there was a lot going on here. I think one of the big problems with this season is a lot of people were just so blinded by either Joe or Eva were going to win that they kind of started ignoring everybody else. And like, Will, you said at the beginning of this whole comment of, it felt like in the first hour, Camilla could really win this. People were like, Camilla's invisible. She's purple. We haven't seen her. Camilla is one of the biggest female edits in the history of Survivor. Like, literally one of the biggest in the history of Survivor. But because she had an episode or two where she had like one confessional or didn't really do, people are acting like she was invisible. Camilla was always a contender on this season. She was always a contender to win. And I think they did a good job with her at the end too, where new Camilla is this thing, but old Camilla comes out at Final Fire Making Challenge. And I think that's compelling TV. Does it make for these big blind sides and all that? No, but I still think it's really compelling.
Yeah, I mean, Camilla had a great, I mean, until she lost fire making, I thought she had a chance to win. The Mitch boot, I think it was, it just, in a season of like really kind of, I don't know, boots that are boring, like boots where you telegraph boots, maybe is the best word. Mm-hmm. Like, this wasn't even, they didn't even attempt to obscure what was going to happen. And that rarely happens on Survivor. Survivor's like, you know what? We we got nothing here. We don't even have like a red herring. We can't even we can't even make one up. The story is we're telling you there's no more idols left. There's no more shot in the dark. Nothing you can do. Sorry, you are going home. And that's that. Like, Survivor rarely resorts to not having any suspense at a tribal council. And when it does, it's pretty bad, especially when it's the opening vote of a finale of a season that has been, you know, full of pretty boring boots. The only good thing about that, though, was we got through it quickly. They knew that we were going to yada yada through it. And it kept Camilla and Kyle both in the game at once. Yes. And I think that really was overall a plus for the finale, despite being such a terrible vote at Final Five. Like, it hurts your finale. It hurts your season when you don't even have like an A or B choice for your Final Five vote. But keeping Camilla and Kyle really, it made that challenge, that Final Meeting challenge, a lot better. It made fire making better. I think it made it, everything later work because Camilla and Kyle were both still there.
Yeah, I there's two things I want to say about that. I think, one, I was on the edge of my seat through some emotion and stuff because I was like, I don't really know who's going to win this. Like, I was so convinced Kyle was going to win, but then I'm like, is Camilla going to pull this out? Could Joe win? And now you have Camilla versus Kyle and fire. Like you said, in the first hour, they made it seem like Camilla could win. But I think the second thing, and I want to talk about this boot where they didn't give us an alternative. Normally that is reserved for either the Romes, where it's like so obvious. This person's kind of the Rome, the Drew Christie's, where it's this over the top. Guy doesn't see it coming, so they kind of let us in on the joke with the rest of the cast, or it's reserved for the hero who doesn't have an out and just kind of takes the noble way, right? And that's it. And I think that the editors really dropped the ball on Mitch in that way, because Jeff says it at the end, and you came in on the podcast last night at the point where we started talking about this. Jeff says at the end, Mitch, everybody's going to look at you and say, you're a gamer, and we wanted you to win. And for the editors to leave that in, that signals to me that they're saying that's what the story is that we told for Mitch. And to tell the story of at Final Five, Mitch went out heroically and like people are going to love this guy. You made it throughout the season so that we had no idea who Mitch's allies were. We had no idea what moves Mitch was trying to make. And obviously, like you said, if he was doing these really interesting things, we would see it. And yeah, they don't pan out, so maybe that's why we don't see it. But then it doesn't make sense why you do his boot that way and why you leave in Jeff saying that at the very end. Those are my complaints, because that's not a cohesive story, and those are the things you're in control of. You're not in control of how Mitch plays the game or when Mitch goes home, but you're in control of the narrative around when he goes home. And if you're saying he's the big hero, that like this is supposed to be the emotional he's leaving moment, where was that the rest of the season that we could see Mitch's game play so that everybody would be super emotional when he's getting booted from the game?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's tricky, because I imagine there's a world in which like Mitch was a real threat, but there's also a world in which Mitch didn't really make any gamer moves. Mm-hmm. So like, it's hard to kind of justify that and make that make sense. So Jeff saying he's the biggest gamer, I mean, is he talking about his challenge performance? Because Mitch was great in challenges. Like,
but I'm just saying, leave it on the cutting room floor, because it makes no sense in any way, because he didn't win any immunities. He didn't win any rewards.
True. Yeah, so I mean,
leave it on the cutting room floor. It doesn't need to be in
there. You know when someone's like a gamer, and it's like, it's kind of a way they're saying they're tough, they're battle tested.
Yeah.
Like, die, total gamer. Maybe that's what Jeff was going
I needed
for.
Him to I mean,
if we're talking about the game like of Survivor
yeah.
and like making strategic moves and big decisions in the game, like he, like honestly, like actively chose not to do those things. So like, yeah. I don't know how that makes sense, but I still, at the same time, even if he plays a game where he makes zero game moves at all, he can still be super well liked by the cast, by fans, by audience, or Jeff can predict that the audience is going to love him and that he can be a hero. He does have an inspiring story, and we can lean into that. It just, I think maybe that's where we're kind of at in new era Survivor a little bit, is there's so much focus on the mechanics of the game, and there's lost votes and advantages. I mean, even this thing we've been doing now, where we have, excuse me, some like chase through the jungle at yeah. Final Five or Final Six to find an advantage. I mean, we see this. It's like we're so focused on the game of it all that if a player doesn't participate in the game that way, then we're not going to see them.
Yeah.
So you could be the most likable guy. If you're not playing the game hard, then we're probably not going to. And honestly, with Joe, I know Joe, there were so many people thinking he was a slam dunk to win. I kept saying he wasn't going to win. We need to clip whatever episode that was where I think you gave him the Philly and I said there's no way Joe wins after this episode. And it was pretty early on. Got to clip that.
I think I gave him the Philly though. And I remember this conversation where I said he played the best game, like everything worked out for him. But I also agreed. I never thought Joe was winning the season. I never, ever thought he was winning the season. Ever.
Right. Okay. Well, a lot of people did. Anyway, we were on it early. That's why we're the specialists over here.
Yeah.
But that even for someone like Joe who didn't make a lot, he was not the most visible player. Like,
no.
Do you get the final confessional? Also, Phil, you're super into confessionals. I saw something the other day, and it's not based on confessional count. It's based on confessional seconds.
Yeah.
And that's a much better metric. And I actually love, I mean, I might get more into confessionals now that we've measured it correctly. Cause like how do you count confessionals? Like sometimes they're quick, sometimes they're short. And then they're like, well, if 10 seconds are in between, who made that rule up? Total time is like pretty clear.
Somebody started doing that not too long ago, and it was pretty insane.
That's very smart. It's a way more smart way to count. And honestly, we should do our over-unders and stuff. We should use time and not like number. I know you like 10 confessionals.
Time is just so difficult to track. But
well, someone else tracks it.
I know, but then you're trusting them too. But even if you go that route, like,
well, it's not like you're counting the confessionals. You're trusting someone anyway.
I count them. No, I'm just kidding.
No, there's no way.
Going into the finale, Joe only had a minute more screen time than Camilla, and people were acting like Joe was a lock to win and Camilla was invisible. And it's just
feel like Camilla got a lot of confessionals too in the finale. And I know
she probably asked Joe for sure.
Like, and Joe lasted longer too. And the eps, like Joe got to have day 39 and probably added a minute there.
Yeah.
But so, and Joe didn't really make many moves.
And I mean, if you look at the numbers, though, from this season, just because to give Will what he wanted, really, which is the numbers. Kyle, 92. Eva, 76. Camilla, 70. Joe, 65. And I know, again, like you're talking about with time and stuff, but Camilla and Joe aren't that far off on their time at all at the end of the season. And Camilla ends up with more confessionals than Joe. So it's kind of like half in one, a dozen in this, six in the other, whatever you want to say. But it's like when you look at it that way, you know what I'm talking about.
When you
look at it that way,
a dime a dozen.
Like Camilla she was over edited, right? Like people will look at it based on the averages. Are you over edited or under edited? She was an over edited player on this season. She
was above the average.
Yeah, she was more confessionals than the average, which was 67.5. She had 70. So she had
she also made final four. So like
somehow whatever they do is it's like you should have 67.5 like, if you make the finale, you should have 56.7 if you
time make per yeah. episode
yeah
average
yeah exactly
yeah
so I don't know, I just feel like Camilla really, like, if I was, I thought about this today and I said this on the Patreon. I said, if you were to ask me right now, if you were to ask me 3 weeks ago who should return from this season, I would have probably been like David, and that's really it. I think Camilla absolutely is worthy, even a 50. Like, and I know that's going to sound crazy to some people, but I truly think that Camilla is a very, very compelling character. She wanted to make a lot more moves and wasn't able to because of the game that was laid out in front of her. She had to play a subtler game. She had to play a quieter game. And I think that Camilla, like, understands it. She's very likable. She's great in confessionals, and she's a strategic powerhouse, right? And she won two immunities. Like she's kind of a really well-rounded character. And I also think that, well, we always talk about, like, if you're going to come back and play again, can you give me something different? Can you win? She can win, and people would underestimate her all over again. And she absolutely would play a different game because she's not going to have a Kyle and play in that way. I think she'd be a big, big move type person. And I think she'd be great. So I'd watch Camilla play again in a heartbeat.
I thought Camilla was good. I don't need to see her play any again in 50. Maybe if they do New Era All-Stars or New Era Second Chance, if we get this returning season of new era players that we keep talking about as if it's reality, even though we have no confirmation that this is at all in the plans of this show, then yeah, I think you put Camilla in that group of people that we want to see return. But there's only going to be 18 to 20 spots on 50, and those are so highly coveted. To pick anyone really from 48 or 49 feels like a disservice to see someone play that quickly when we have so many people we haven't seen play in decades. So I can't get behind. I think maybe the latest we should go is I would go like 47 for Genevieve, and then that would be it. And then I would like 46.
You gotta have
sure. To. You gotta get Zielinski in there, but other than that. Like, that's yeah, we don't. Why do we need to see someone from so recent, such a recent season play? I don't think there's any
look, man. I agree with you. And as the 50 rumors keep circling and circling, it looks like there's conversation that maybe potentially Amanda's been cut or dropped out or something like that. And it's starting to become more and more new.
Oh,
this is I don't like that. I don't
God, give me yeah. Amanda. Are you kidding me? Amanda is like screams 50.
I know. And people like, who are complaining about
Colby, player like, you're hasn't out of your won. Like,
yeah.
This makes okay. We're going to put like Rachel in there. Like, what?
Yeah. Let's throw this comment up.
Rachel's great, but she just played. We just saw Rachel play.
Super chat here. Do you think a happy medium for fire making could be that the winner of Final Immunity can choose to have everyone vote or choose fire making? Do you think that would be something?
What does that do? I mean, if you win, I feel like you're going to choose a vote almost every time.
Because you're going to want to guarantee that your biggest threat goes out.
Right?
Yeah. I agree. Because like in this one, Kyle picks a vote so that Camilla goes and he doesn't have to worry about Camilla sitting next to him.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that becomes a choice, really. It's not a dilemma. And then also, like, you don't want to give, you know, you're in the final three. You don't want to give one of your competitors that fire in their eyes, to quote Maria, that might give them extra bonus points for the with the jury.
Yeah.
You don't want to give them that opportunity. Just vote them out.
Yeah. No, I do agree with that. I really do. I think that's spot on. I think it turns into almost an hourglass kind of thing. Where it's you're always going to pick one option. Somebody's now on the 50. This is Wesley White. I understand them wanting more new era players in the 50 so they can try and use the old legends to try and make new legends. I mean, the thing is, like, if you have Colby and Stephanie, who are two people who seem like they're locked in, you have Colby and Stephanie and they're taking Stephanie on.
Is locked in?
So it seems like. And so you have those two and now they're taking on, like, I don't know, let's just like Jonathan and, you know, whoever from 45, I don't know, somebody.
Caleb.
I'm still going to be rooting for Colby and Stephanie. and that's nothing against the other people. It's just like, I'd rather watch Colby and Stephanie. So I think like, if you have an even mix, that's better.
We also just saw those. But again, it's like, make me miss these players, you know?
I think the biggest problem is, with the returning player thing is it for a lot of people, this feels like this might be my only opportunity because they went so long without a returning player season. Longest stretch in the history of the franchise without a returning player season. I think that's weighing on a lot of people. And I think that's also weighing on the decision-making. I really do.
Yeah. It's so bizarre that we go through these waves of like, I mean, we had that short period where it's just like we're in love with returning players.
20, 22, 23, 25, 26, 27, 31. Like literally 7 seasons.
34.
Yeah, 34, 38, like 40. It's insane. And you had Rob and Sandra not playing on Island of the Idols. They're still there.
So what? That's over the course of the second half of the old era, from 20 to 40. What? Like every like almost a third of the seasons.
It was about a 10 third. Seasons. Yeah,
it was a third half, of the seasons were half a returning. Seasons,
had at least one returning player.
And now we've gone 9 straight seasons with zero.
Well, with one.
True, Bruce.
Don't you dare shame Bruce.
Right.
Right. This is a Bruce positive podcast. You never
absolutely.
So What do you think? Because I've talked for way too long today, especially. But what do you think the legacy of this season is? When we do our Patreon and we do Every Season Matters, we always end each season with a legacy episode. And it's easy to look back now and be like, well, what's the legacy of Samoa? It's Russell, blah, blah, blah. But that was also
one. Well, that would have been pretty easy to answer.
That's easy in the moment. But like a Marquesas, we don't know what that legacy is going to be, right? What do you think?
I can tell you now.
Well, you can tell me now. But at the time, we had no idea. Most people didn't like that season. What do you think the legacy of this season is ultimately going to be?
This will forever be known as the Joe and Eva season. Even though Kyle won, even though Camilla probably had the next best chance at winning, if she wins Fire, she probably beats both of them, whoever she's sitting next to. I guess that would be Kyle and Joe. We know she's against Eva.
Yeah.
But it is the Joe and Eva season. It is the biggest moment of the season, is episode 4, if you want to argue Fire Making Sure. But the way it does circle back into the finale with those two huge moments, there's not a whole lot of game. There's nothing else to put your hands on here. Like, that's it. Nothing else to sink your teeth into. That's the story of the season. And it's not, they don't have to win for it to be their story, but they're the biggest characters and they're the most important part of the season. And I don't know if there is much, like, I don't think, even though I think Kyle is like a very good Survivor player and his win is very good, you know, I think he's like, if that move doesn't work, if they make one read on him, he's done. I think if Camilla builds a fire, it sounds like he's potentially done. So I don't know if we're looking back and saying Kyle is like, this is some all-time game. Although I do think, as I said, kudos to Kyle. Great game. Hard to rank winners, but like, I don't know if we're going to look back at like Kyle puppet mastered. Like, no, we haven't seen it before. It's like, it was a pretty nice social under the radar secret alliance game. Cool. Very, very cool. But like, that wasn't
the standout. Too. Very patient.
Sure. Yeah. Very patient because nothing happened.
Yeah.
So I won't look back on this season fondly. I think it's the worst of the new era. I could be wrong. I could rewatch it again. I could think of it, you know, more fondly after a rewatch, but it's just weird. I never felt, and I think we cracked it. I think we cracked it with the Green Tribe.
Yeah.
They weren't important. And we spent all our time with them. Yeah. So that made the pre-merge kind of, you know, not important. That's for me. It's the Joe and Eva season. I don't know how, if that's not the legacy of this season in 5 years or 10 years, then I'm like dying to know what we're still talking about.
Here's the interesting thing though. I think the Joe and Eva season makes this almost instant. And this is going to sound sacrilegious to people. I think it almost makes it instantly more memorable than every single other season of the new era. Maybe with the exception of Gabler winning, because people are like, what the hell? But I think this is now, out of the numbers, right? We just talk about the numbered seasons. It's like, sometimes you gotta be like, okay, Zach was on 42, not 41. Sarah was on 41. Okay. And like, when you're thinking about the earlier merge people, right?
About Zach and Sarah.
But my thing is like, you tell me Thailand. I'm like, yeah, John Raymond was the first boot. Like, I can do that immediately off the top of my head. 43. Yeah, you're
insane.
Yeah, but 43, I have to be like, who was the boot? It's Mariah, but I have to get there, right? And I think that because this season is so easily identifiable as the Joe and Eva season, it almost has like a Pearl Islands type of like, that's the Rupert season. That's the Johnny Fairplay season, where it's these two are that iconic right now. They were doing so much mid-season press. They were doing all these like morning shows and stuff. Survivor hasn't been doing that stuff. But because this was such a unique story and such an amazing story, that's what was being focused on with these two. And so I think if you were to go through the seasons, the 41 is the hourglass, sure. 42, I don't know the defining trait of 42. 43 would be, that's the one Gabler somehow won. Oh, okay. 44, Carolyn and Carson. Carolyn. Yeah, like that's it. 45. What is the defining trait of 45? 46. That's the one with all the blindsides.
Q.
Like 47, Operation Italy, but most people are going to forget that in 5 years. This season with Joe and Eva easily makes this such an easily identifiable season. And that might be enough where in the long term, when we do a season ranking 10 years from now, maybe not us, but when we see a season ranking 10 years from now, people might be looking at this going, that is like a really good super underrated
season. That was amazing. The I felt I was crying. Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. That's like a pretty good season.
Whereas you're going to be like, yeah, 45. I don't really remember what happened in that one.
Oh, so yeah. D1. Yeah. But what else? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Season kind of sucked, huh?
Yeah. And so this is something to really latch onto. They replayed episode 4 on a Saturday. On a Saturday night. Survivor's never done that. And they did it for episode 4 because that's how impactful it was. So I actually think that the legacy for this season, even if it's not considered a very good season, will ultimately be a positive legacy, which is not the case with many bad seasons, right? Like if you think about with like a One World, a Redemption Island, a Nicaragua, a Thailand, they don't have good legacies. Like they have bad legacies and it's negative legacies and they're bad seasons. This might be considered a bad season, but it's a very positive legacy, which is wild. It's so different. And yes, I mean, episode 5.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't mean necessarily when you're like, oh, that season, that's not always a positive thing. Like if you're like, oh, that's Kim's season. Yeah, that was a snoozer. Or like, oh, yeah, it's the season Boston Rob won. He dominated. Yeah. Oh, Island of the Idols. That's the not going to go there.
Yeah, but, exactly. But that's what it is. Yep.
So we'll see. I see what you're saying. I do think it's an easily defined season by being like, yeah, the Joe and Eva season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which just hasn't been the case for the new era. A lot of it has felt the same. But then I thought it was interesting. Gordon Holmes put out last night in his recap, he said, our favorite adventure show is starting to feel formulaic. And it's felt formulaic for a little bit, but I think that this season almost felt like a jumping of the shark of we truly are a formula. And when the gameplay isn't on another level, the formula just stands out so much to the point of like you were saying, now they're just running through the woods at Final Five to find an advantage. And there's always going to be that. And we're always going to see Sweat versus Savvy. There's nothing new. We see Samotion. That's an exciting challenge, but we've seen Samotion so many times. I think they said every single even season of the new era, except for 46, has had Samotion as the last challenge of the season.
Especially when it's on the 50 ballot, you think they would like think there's a pretty good chance it's going to get voted for as the 51 and just don't bring it out two seasons before.
Yeah. But they did.
But I think we keep having this conversation and we might be a broken record, but it's like Survivor focuses on the game more than it does the adventure, the location, the challenges, the humor, even sometimes camp life. And when that really kind of puts the season, it puts pressure on every season, really, is what it's doing. Because if it doesn't deliver gameplay wise, it doesn't have those other elements to fall back on. Like you can have boring, bad gameplay. And if you're in a cool location and you're leaning into the camp life and survival of it all and funny people, like you can still have a very entertaining, fun season of Survivor. And that's really what old school Survivor felt like. We can't fall back on that anymore. We have to have the new era because there's a focus on gameplay so much. If the gameplay is not good, you're going to have a bad season. Whereas you could put lipstick on a pig earlier in this franchise if your pig is the gameplay. Like if you have an ugly, bad season of gameplay, you could still dress it up with everything else. You can't do that now.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's exactly what we were talking about earlier on in the season, where it's like 8 and 7 feel bad, and it's not like we can't sit here and be like, well, the players aren't bringing it because they're not making big moves. That hasn't been what Survivor's needed to be about, but it does feel like that is what Survivor has needed to feel like and what it's needed to be about in the new era, because that's how it's set up. It's set up to be about gameplay and nothing else, and we'll see how that ultimately goes, because this was a relationship-driven season, but not a relationship with any negatives. Right. Like rewatching Heroes versus Villains right now. I rewatched like literally 5 episodes today. Getting ready for that Patreon podcast. That's going to be the best. But when I'm rewatching Heroes versus Villains, it's like you're watching, you love these people, but you're also watching like Stephanie and James go at it. And then Tom be like, all mass, no class, right? Like, you're seeing these kinds of dynamics where there is negativity, even from very positive people, people that we have loved throughout the franchise and stuff. And on this season, the relationships are so, they were just so positive that there was nothing else to like create the drama. And when the votes then aren't dramatic, what's the drama? Well, there is none. And they couldn't figure out what to do with it. And I think that's what makes this season just, you know, fall flat for a lot of people in a lot of ways, because I mean, I think I figured it out today. And I said this to Kyle, I think he had the earliest successful idol play of a winner in the history of Survivor, right? Cause he had to play it at final 15 or something like that. And people are almost like not even talking about that, that that even happened. That's not even coming up in conversation. That was an insane episode. And it's not even coming up because it was so long ago and people have just been, they feel like they've been bored.
Yeah. Well, and the show didn't remind us in Final Tribal Council. I imagine, is that something you talked to Kyle about? Did he bring that up in his final three? I know you only had 15 minutes with him.
No, but I didn't ask. Yeah, it was quick. It was quick.
Darn, you didn't ask the one thing I wanted to know. Way to go, man.
They're so
I mean, I'm sure he brought that up. Also, I thought Final Tribal was pretty bad. I don't know. Did you feel that way? I thought it was like,
it was too short.
It was really short. When it ended, I was like, wait, no one grilled them on actually, like, yeah. Kyle brought up his secret relationship with Camilla one time. I thought that was going to be like the focal point of his argument. And again, maybe it was out there. And then it felt like Joe is at some point, I was waiting for him to get some comeuppance on his like honesty, loyalty, integrity, and just get like, I don't know. I thought they're going to rip into him in some way. And not like pull a Corinne or anything, like,
yeah,
don't go that far, but be like, hey man, like from David, maybe like, I know you said honesty, loyalty, but like you did vote me out, or like Cheyenne, like you did vote me out. Like what are we talking about here? Just like at least bring it up. It felt like all congratulations, nice job. Let me like ask you one kind of softball and let you knock it out of the park. And then we had the one Kyle answer where people were like, oh, wow, secret relationship. Whoa. Yeah.
I feel like that was condensed significantly for time. And my biggest complaint.
Absolutely. Those things go on forever. Yeah.
This is my biggest complaint about the finale. In the trailer for the finale, the one that comes out midweek, they spoiled who won Final Five immunity and who went home in fifth place. And then they spent 55 minutes on Camilla winning that immunity and Mitch going home in fifth place. And to me, that should have been a half hour to maybe 40. And then you could have had 10 more minutes of Final Tribal Council. And that's just a complaint I have to have. I mean, it's crazy, dude. And it like, okay, the Mitch one, Mitch is pretty hidden in the back, but you can see him walking in and you're like, well, that's not Cheyenne because there's not a massive beard. And the guy in front of him has a massive beard. Like, it's very obvious it's Mitch, but like, if you're not looking for it, it's a quick clip, whatever. But the Camilla one was bad. She is sitting in her spot with the necklace on and it's like a 3-second thing of her talking. And it's like, what are we doing? That's bad. So we knew she was going to win that. And then they also talk about, the description for the episode was one player makes a massive comeback in an immunity challenge. Well, it could only be Camilla. So that's where it's like, don't spend so much time on that. If that's kind of the stuff that you're speeding through or should be speeding through, spend more time on the Final Tribal where we as an audience had a lot more questions.
Yeah. What's funny about all that is I'm pretty sure we're talking now about like three different parties that aren't even in communicate. Like, the production company turns in the episode, then marketing, CBS, will get the episode and they'll cut together the trailer. The Survivor is not even involved with what is put out as a trailer promo. And then the descriptions actually come from like a different department. So it's like,
yeah,
it is pretty silly. And how many
of the people who are doing all this stuff actually watch the episodes, right? Like, it's not many. Like, some of these people probably aren't even watching. It's like, I have to do the description. Well, what happens in the episode? Here's what happens. Okay.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure they should watch and then, but they're not like thinking about,
they're not thinking about us. They're not thinking about the crazy psycho fans who are literally going frame by frame of a trailer.
Yeah. No, I try to like when I'm working on shows, I'm always very like, guys, we can't like, be careful here. This is where you're going to spoil. This is our promo shot. I'm like, yeah, but like we have four contestants left. like, is you want this to be the promo shot? Well, we had four contestants left and we started with 16. Yeah. Let's think about this first.
Yeah. No, I get that. I get that. All right. Final thoughts on Survivor 48. Will, anything you want to say before I hang this up? It's after midnight for the second night talking about 48. I'm done.
Yeah. I mean, I've said what I need to say. I think the cast was good. I don't know. We talked about like what makes a season work and not, and like, I really stand by this. I think the production can do everything right. And I'm not saying they did. The cast can be fantastic, incredible. And I'm not saying they are, but sometimes you just don't get a good season. And sometimes, like, this is one of those times.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm going to get it. You like it? Cool. Cool. Not my favorite, but
I'll throw up this last super chat here. Sending my support to the channel. Appreciate the things y'all do. How do y'all rank the new era now? Will's already said he puts at the bottom. I'd still put it ahead of 41, 44. Maybe 42. I have to rewatch 42. 42 just was like not as bad.
42 is way better than 48, and 42 is very bad.
Get the hell out of here. Anyway,
I'm telling you, like, Marianne and Omer and Jonathan and Lindsay's brother sister relationship, there is way more going on.
How many times have you watched that season?
Twice.
Exactly. Watch 48 again, and then you have to tell
42 me. Is worse on the rewatch, also.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Maybe on the rewatch, this one won't be as bad for you. So I think you have to get the second watch in before you can say that.
Maybe, but like, I'm like, nothing happened this season.
I disagree with that. Like, I disagree with that. I disagree. I really do. We've already gone through it. I'm not rehashing it again, but I totally disagree. I think there was enough that happened. It just wasn't as much as happens
good. In the middle of season.
But we'll be back next Wednesday night. Will's like a 20% maybe on this. But next Wednesday night, 10:30 PM, we are going to be breaking down the Survivor 50 cast. It'll definitely be me, Blake, and Tegwith. Hopefully Will's there. If he's not, we're going to get Will on plenty of stuff over the summer for 50 anyway.
Probably so won't be able to.
Yeah. That's okay.
I'm going to be, I'm like, and I know I missed the finale last night. I'm sorry. I'm like, I'm grinding like 10-hour, 12-hour days. And it's tough to squeeze this in, but I'll get here when I can.
Yeah, and that's okay. So we're going to get him in. There'll be plenty of time to talk about 50. Don't everybody worry, but we're going to get a cast reaction out on the day of the cast announcement happening. Of course, it's happening at 7 a.m. We're podcasting at 10:30 p.m. So stick around, wait for us, and get your cast reaction fixed, because I think that's going to be probably the most exciting day in Survivor fandom since probably 40 was announced. But otherwise, go check out my exit interviews. I know a lot of people have been saying, I hope you keep getting more of these. The best way to get more of them is for the views to be high. So everybody keep watching them. That's helping. And we've had a lot of viewership on them so far today, and I'm really happy about it. And keep on watching them. It seems like people are skipping the Mitch one. Don't skip the Mitch one. The Mitch one's good. Go watch the Mitch one. So check out all of those. And that's it. That's it for this season. Obviously not a very long off season, because we're going to be doing so much 50 coverage. We'll be a lot busier than we were last season. That's for sure. In the summertime, when I think we put out like 4 or 5 episodes. This time we might be putting out like 4 or 5 in a 2-week span.
4 or 500.
Yeah, seriously. It's going to be a lot. We have so many things planned and I'm really excited for it. So thank you all so much for listening. Thanks for sticking with us through the season. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Like the video, subscribe to the channel, check out other videos, share them wherever you want. And we will see you next Wednesday night. That's the next time you're all hearing from me, next Wednesday night for the Survivor Cast 50 cast reaction. Thank you all. Bye.
See ya.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.